Thank you. It is so good to have you join along in our Bible studies. Wonderful to have you follow each week. Wonderful to get the letters that we get. And we're just happy to be able to bring these Bible studies to you. We're happy for the response that we get. And we're just happy for the power of the Word of God that has caused some of you to become excited about the Word of God, study it for yourself, and not believe some of the stuff preachers put out that you're too dumb to understand it yourself. You're not. They're the only ones that could understand it. So you just come, leave your Bible at home, and we'll teach you the Word of God. Consequently, you do not get the Word of God. You get a bunch of little fragments and a bunch of little pieces here and there, and you think that's the Bible. Well, that isn't true. So we're covering a subject here now, as we have been for the past several weeks, and going to continue to do it, because we have the counterfeit of salvation, and that is something that you can do yourself. Satan loves that. His ministers appear to be the ministers of righteousness in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but just as Eve was deceived there by Satan, Paul said, I'm afraid that he has done the same thing and corrupted your minds from the simplicity that is in the gospel. The simplicity. You only go to heaven one way, and that one way includes the blood of another who was perfect to make the sacrifice for unperfect humanity. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said the same in John 14:6. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. He did not say except by baptism. He did not say except by belonging to this church, and my church claims to be the only church. And that isn't true. There is no earthly church that is the only church. And the only true church is the spiritual body of Christ, called the one new man in the New Testament, called the bride of Christ, called the building. And when we are put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are placed into that body of Christ spiritually now, and then the Holy Spirit is given to every believer. And that's what God has promised in John. Now we come on here and we're examining, because we have so much counterfeit as far as something you can do to make God accept you into heaven. And then they pull little bits and pieces of scripture out and disregard the rest of the Bible, and want you to follow their little made-up plan of salvation by extracting a little scripture here, a little scripture there, pulling it completely out of context, disregarding all the rest of the scriptures that would be against that, and to try to make you follow their little sect or their little group. And many of those have multiplied into large sects and large groups. But we're coming here now, as we have started from Adam and Eve, and to show you there is no salvation outside of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament was the first mention of the blood with Adam and Eve, when the fig leaves were discarded and they had to be clothed with the skins, the blood had to be shed. Abel offered the blood sacrifice of his flock. Cain was religious, but he didn't want anything to do with the blood. He offered a sacrifice. He believed in God, but didn't believe what God said. And he offered a sacrifice of what he grew. God rejected that, threw it back at his front door, and said, sin lieth at thy door. We come on down, and we find out all the race going, following all the way there, coming down through Cain there, up to the flood, brought and bred nothing but just evil men, till the whole earth was fully corrupt. And God destroyed the earth. Noah, after he got out of the ark, the first thing that he did, well, of course, because he worshipped God before that. And we find out here, his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and so forth, in verse 20 of the 8th chapter of Genesis, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offering on the altar. The blood had to be shed. All of the blood in the Old Testament was a type pointing to the perfect blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that would be shed upon the cross of Calvary. We look now, we're 2,000 years later, we're looking back at the cross. No one is saved out of putting their faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. That's the only way that you go to heaven. Now, if you want to include water baptism in it, you cancel out the blood. It is either all, as the Bible teaches, all of Jesus Christ or nothing. It's not Jesus Christ plus your baptism, not Jesus Christ plus your church membership, not Jesus Christ plus your good works. When God completed, designed, and completed salvation, Christ's last words on the cross was, Tetelestai, it is finished. And that means you can't add anything to it. So to go to heaven, you must come to Christ, nothing with your hands you bring, offering him nothing, because he will accept nothing you can offer him. He will only give you salvation as a free gift when you come to receive it as a poor, lost sinner. That's the only way that you can have it. You are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, a gift to God, not of works, least any man should boast. But now we're coming on over, and we're going to find a couple of things very interesting here, because the great-grandson of Noah by the name of Nimrod. Now, we come in our Bibles here to chapter 10, and of course we have the genealogies here, and we have the three sons of Noah. We have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, we come on down into verse 6, and we want to pick this up here, and come on down and begin to find where it leads to a man called Nimrod, as we say, was the great-grandson of Noah. So, we find out here that Nimrod was a mighty hunter, and he was a hunter of souls. That's not for the Lord, that was against the Lord. He went against the Lord in every way. He wanted to build a city on his own. He wanted to build a tower that would reach up into heaven. He did not want a blood sacrifice. He was very self-sufficient. He could do it everything by himself. He did not believe what God said. He did not believe what his great-grandfather said or believe what his father said. But let's notice here in verse 6, and the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan, Cush being the firstborn. Now, we come on down. Notice in verse 8, and Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth, but not mighty for the Lord. Now, he was against the Lord. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, but not for the Lord. In front of the Lord, in sight of the Lord, because God sees everything. Wherefore, it is said, even Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before the Lord. Now, let's read on down verse 10. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and it means the gate to God, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, and the land in the land of Shinar. Now, that's sort of interesting here, because in the land of Shinar, we come on down here to chapter 11, and we find out this is where he took his group. It says, and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said one to another, go, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. So we find that Nimrod here is going to build a city. He's going to defile what God has said, because his great-grandfather, no doubt, Shem, Ham, and Japheth were on the boat of the flood there. They knew that. They knew the instructions that God had given to their father, and they no doubt passed it on down to their sons. But notice what it says in chapter 9 of Genesis, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, them, all of them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So, we find out the great-grandson of Noah, by the name of Nimrod. Cush was his son, Noah's son, and Nimrod was his grandson and so forth, or Ham was his son, then Cush, and then Nimrod. So he was the great-grandson of Noah. This was passed down to him, replenished the earth. Right off of the bat, Nimrod rebelled. Now we're going to see here, we find out here that the Tower of Babel, that it's really Satan's tower. And I might say this, when you have anybody that tells you that water baptism, along with faith in Christ, will get you to heaven, and you have to be water baptized. Now, I have a brochure here from, in fact, I have many of them, but I want to read you one here from one of the churches. You know, it's an amazing thing. About 7 years ago, I moved to Walnut Grove, or we moved there a couple years before that. And about 7 years ago, I was talking to a lady that goes to a church that says you have to be water baptized to go to heaven. And I said, that's a lie. That's Satan's lie. It's the blood that saves you, and that's what we're showing you all the way through these messages here. It is the blood. Without the blood, there's no remission of sins. But notice, and I just want to read what it puts on this, that's in their writings right here, so I'm not making anything up. I'm reading from their literature. Through water filled with the power of God's word baptism, it does four things. It washes away the guilt of sins. Well, it doesn't. No Bible verse. It bestows God's grace upon us. No Bible verse given. Delivers us from the power of death. No Bible verse given. Promises us eternal life in God's kingdom. No verse in the Bible in reference to this whatsoever. You're just supposed to believe it because they put it in a pamphlet here and you go to that church and you're supposed to believe this now, but there's no Bible verses here, no reference to this whatsoever. No verses. It's better to put your trust in the Lord than put confidence in men. Well, all four of those that it says here are a lie. You'll find nothing in the Bible that says anything about that to support it. Maybe that's the reason they didn't put any verses there beside it. You're just supposed to believe it because you belong to that particular church. Here is Nimrod. he's going to build here a tower. And let's keep on reading here for a minute. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, they didn't want the name of God or Christ or that. They didn't want to be known as a Christian or following God or that. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let us make us a name. In other words, we are the Almighty. We're God's ourselves, and we'll do that. No blood sacrifice whatsoever. But we're going to find out that God interfered with that. Let's go on down to verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men building. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this is they, and this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now, you better join them, or they'll do nothing more than just kill you. I mean, you're going to join the group here, or you're going to be ostracized. But God knew their thoughts, and he said nothing will stop them now, because they're going to try to reach heaven by their own good works, by their own tower. They're going to build a heaven on earth here. And we have religions like that today with that kind of phony baloney. And what they have imagined to do. Now, let's go here in verse 7. But God said, go to and let us, that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there you have the Trinity, let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the languages of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So it shows us one great thing. No matter, Nimrod, how great you were, how big a following you had, when God intervened, he is more powerful than you who have presented yourself as a god to the people. Now, you know, it's very interesting here, as we've said, because the Tower of Babel is really Satan's tower, which was really the symbol and the center of the Babylonian religious program and worship. It really was. This is where it all began, in the center of the city. We know through archaeology and their examinations there and things they found the city at the center of it was a gigantic temple dedicated to Belus, and it was later called Baal. Now, it was to become symbolic of Satan's program throughout the ages as opposed to the program of the Lord and his church. You see, the tower rested upon a base of stone about 300 feet square and about 110 feet high. Upon this, there was a second stage. It was about 250 feet square, 60 feet high. Stages 3, 4, and 5 decreased in size, with the sixth stage 110 feet square and about 20 feet high. And on top of that was now about 300 feet in the air stood the statue of the Babylonian god. Now, this building was interrupted by the confusion of tongues, but was resumed later under Nebuchadnezzar, that great Babylonian king. There were two things that Satan wanted to establish, and you find the same thing today. The same thing in religion today. Satan attempted, through Nimrod, to do first of all, he wanted to establish a world federation of religions centered at the Tower of Babel, but without the blood. Isn't this what your ecumenical thing is doing today? Let's all get together. Let's be baptized. Let's don't criticize now. And we don't want anybody in our organization that is going to disagree with us. I told one preacher here in town, I said, you tell the other preachers here, I want to meet with them and tell them why that I do not want any part of your organizations. I want to tell you why. Because we believe the Bible, that the Bible says Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and your other religions project many, many deviations from that. Your water baptism, and just as we've read here in this one article, let me read it to you again, because if you believe this, you are totally deceived. That water baptism washes away the guilt of our sins, that's a lie. Bestows God's grace upon us, that's a lie. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who restores his grace upon us, not water baptism. Water baptism delivers us from the power of death. That's funny. My Bible says we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're passed from death unto life. And I don't find anything about water in that verse at all. No wonder they don't give any verses in this pamphlet here when they say this. And then it promises, water baptism promises us eternal life in God's kingdom. That's funny. Everybody knows John 3:16, even your liberal churches. For God so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Where in the world do you get water in there? But here's a pamphlet that says, water baptism promises eternal life in God's kingdom, a lie out of hell. It absolutely does not. No wonder they don't give a verse of scripture. That's the reason for these messages. Your faith in Jesus Christ is the only thing that'll take you to heaven. So we come on over here now. And the second thing that Satan attempted through Nimrod to do was to establish a world in which one language was spoken and called the center of this Babylonian empire Babel, meaning the gate to God, as opposed to the blood in Genesis 3:21, where God shed the blood to clothe Adam and Eve, therefore, with the skins. It was the blood sacrifice also that Abel offered. It was the blood sacrifice of Seth. It was the blood sacrifice of Noah. It was the blood sacrifice also of Enoch that walked with God, and God took him, wasn't it? It most assuredly was. And you're going to find it's the blood all the way through the Bible, but modernism, liberalism, has substituted water for the blood. You will never go to heaven by being water baptized. You'll only go to heaven when you realize the only way to heaven is what Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through the Son, or by me. So when Jesus Christ himself said, no man comes to the Father except by me, he did not say, except you're baptized. And, you know, it's an amazing thing you get down. We have so much confusion today deviating from the Word of God. No wonder the ecumenical crowd wants to get together because, you know what, nobody will say, you know, this isn't right. Here's what the Bible says. Now, let me give you this. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, unto him, that's Christ, that loved us and washed us in his own blood. Not in his own water by the church or the preacher, but in the blood. And you know, it's a very interesting thing here as we continue on this study here, which is going to be for quite a while, because we have this brainwashing going on. Your water baptism is going to save you. Your water baptism never saved anybody. It never saved the preacher. It never saved the church. It isn't going to save you. And yet, maybe it will stimulate you to go to the Bible. Write down Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and take it to your preacher. Unto him Christ that loved us and washed us in his own blood. It was his sacrifice. While we're in Revelation, we could go to chapter 5, verse 9. For thou wast slain, that's Christ, and hast redeemed us. That means bought us back to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. All over this world, it is by the blood. Interesting, isn't it? Now we come on down and begin to look here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Well, that's funny. Wonder why he didn't say, go to your preacher and have him sprinkle a little water over you. Why didn't he do that? Here he said, it's the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Isn't that what John said in John chapter 1, verse 29? Behold, the Lamb of God, that's Christ, which taketh away the sins of the world. Well, here my little book and a little pamphlet says of your liberal church here that water baptism promises us eternal life in God's kingdom. No verse given, of course. But the Word of God says that they were made white by the blood of the Lamb. John said in John chapter 1, verse 29, let me repeat it again. I don't know if some of you never read this, don't open your Bible, you don't know where the Gospel of John is, but it's in chapter 1, verse 29. And we find out there that John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He did not say the hands of the preacher with a little bit of water going to sprinkle over your head is going to take away your sins. Jesus Christ died for that. He died for you, and he spilled his own blood. And if you think that he's going to accept some liberal preacher sprinkling a few drops of water on your head and telling you, I can forgive your sins, which is absolutely blasphemy against the Word of God, because here in the Word of God, it says in John 1:29, I'll repeat it again, behold the Lamb of God, that's Christ, which taketh away the sins of the world, not your preacher, not your church, and not your water baptism, which is so prolific in certain areas which have polluted the Word of God. And it's going to send hundreds and thousands of people right plunging right into eternal hell with the water and denying the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we come on down, and it's very interesting, because we want to look at something. I don't know if we'll have time to get it all in, but you know another thing, too, here, with Ham and his son here, he begot Cush, his firstborn, Cush begot Nimrod, and you know what? Down here with Jacob, and or not Japheth, but with Ham, he was on the boat with Noah. You would think his son that he taught, does that mean that all of the sons are going to, does that mean they're all going to, because they're born of Christian parents, they're all going to be Christians? Absolutely not. Not at all. And we have a case of it right here. We have with Nimrod. He had a great-grandfather in Noah, who was a wonderful Christian. He had a grandfather there that was Ham, wonderful Christian. And then he had Cush. And Cush, no doubt, was a Christian, but what about Nimrod? Well, that doesn't mean because you are born of Christian parents that you're going to become a Christian. I'd like for you to notice here in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, because this really vividly brings this out. It says in verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You must receive him. It doesn't say, but as many as are baptized and present to God their wonderful baptism and their baptismal certificate, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I don't find the place in the Bible says that. In fact, the Bible contradicts that diametrically. 100% is opposed to that. So I hope you're not trusting your water baptism. Because unless you receive salvation, not give to God your water baptismal certificate, because God will just tear it up and throw it in the furnace and let it burn while you're on your way to hell, because you've trusted that certificate. You've trusted what the church told you. You've trusted what that lying preacher told you. And you didn't trust what the Word of God said because you never carry a Bible to church. So you had no way to even know what was true and what was false because you had no foundation to judge it on. You just looked at the preacher and he looked like a wonderful fella. And he's so nice. He's so sweet in there. Yes, he surely is. So are the ministers of Satan. And when you deny the blood as the only way to go to heaven, you are a minister of Satan. Now, don't get mad at me for saying that because I didn't say that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you ought to read it for yourself. Read the whole chapter. His ministers appear to be the ministers of righteousness, but they're not. They're counterfeits. They fooled you. They pretended to be something they're really not. It's just a occupation with them, not the profession that God had called them to. Just an occupation. But notice what it says in verse 13, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God." Now, there's three things there. Which were born not of the blood. That means because your blood relation to your parents and you're their sons and daughters, you're not going to heaven because you have Christian parents. See, when you reach the age of accountability, you must receive Jesus Christ because verse 12 says so. As many as received him, that's Christ, to them gave he the right or the power to become the sons of God. So you're not born a Christian. And you're not sprinkled as a little baby, and that tells you that you're going to be a Christian when you get older. There's nothing in the Bible about that whatsoever. That's all made up by man. So we take the first thing here. We're not born of blood. Nowhere in the world are you a Christian because you have Christian parents. Nor by the will of the flesh. And that very simply means anything you can do or to work or anything else or to present to God, you're so good, you're so self-righteous, you go to church every Sunday, you take communion, you take the Lord's Supper, you've been water baptized, God will accept none of those things whatsoever and let you into heaven on the basis of those things. But notice what it says, nor of the will of man. Nobody can pray for you to get you there or so forth. And we're going to be on that and expound on that a little bit more. But I'd like for you to go with me to Psalms chapter 49. And God says, and then I'm going to read you some things from some literature from one large organization. And in fact, I have just a couple of seconds here. I'll read a little bit of it. It says here in this, and this is their main book here for all of you people that belong to this organization. You've got to believe this now. The church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of the elect, which is entirely different from the punishment of the damned. I'd like for you to notice now, the church gave the name, because you're not finding that in the Bible. And then we're going to find out where it come from. That's sort of interesting to me. Always, who made this stuff up? Where'd it come from? And I'll tell you, I would say probably 99, I would say 999 out of 1,000 that belong to this organization have absolutely no idea. And if you were to ask the members of this organization, where did this come from? Tell me who made it up and what year was it made up? You'd be lucky to get one out of 5,000. I know because I've asked them. They have no idea. They have absolutely no idea. The church formulated her doctrine of faith on purgatory, especially at the councils of Florence and Trent. And most of its members have no idea what the Council of Florence or Trent or even when it took place. And I see our time slipping away, but next week we'll give you the Council of Florence and Trent and tell you exactly when it took place and exactly when it was invented and exactly when it was made up. And it's an amazing thing for 14 centuries, 1,400 years, it never existed. And all of a sudden we get a group of men together and put on their robes and pretend to be religious and make it up and throw it in your face and you're supposed to believe it. Well, the middle verse of the Bible, Psalms 118:8, it's better to put your trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. We're going to continue on this next week, so it'll be very interesting to you. But most of all, I hope you're trusting Jesus Christ and His blood that He shed for you, because He will accept nothing you can do. Your baptism will not be accepted. Your church membership won't be accepted, because the preacher says, I can forgive your sin. God will throw that in the trash can, because He's the only one that can forgive your sin. I hope you're trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I am, and that's the only thing I'm trusting for my eternal salvation, and I thank God I have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And if you're trusting Christ, you'll have that too. Well, we hope you'll take time to write us. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota. And also, we have a second, if you'd like to get on our worldwide website. We have a beautiful website with a lot of information on it. It is www.heritagebbc.com. So if you availability there that you can get on, I think you'll be surprised, because we have many, many things on there that might be of interest to you. Well, we thank you for joining with us. Keep looking up. We hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.